Welcome to our broadcast. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 1 and James chapter 1. We're going to look at where John the Baptist comes before the Lord, and we're going to see how the Holy Spirit led Christ into the wilderness and he was tempted of Satan. And we're going to bring a few things out here that I believe will encourage you. I believe it will give you some insight to how the kingdom works and how God works in our lives and how and what is God's perspective. So we'll go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we'll just go right into the teaching. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we thank you, Lord, first of all, for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, God, that you are mighty and awesome and wonderful. And there is nothing, God, in you that is bad or evil or against us. Father, everything that you have for us is good. It is great. It is wonderful. Lord, we thank you for opening up our spiritual understanding. Lord God, that we can understand your word, we can understand your character. Lord, we can have insight to help us walk out the kingdom in this earth, that it will help us to walk out the things that we need to do and to keep us from pitfalls, keep us from falling into Satan's trap. So Father, today we just thank you for opening up our spiritual ears, opening up our spiritual eyes, that our heart is open to receive, to hear from you in the name that's above every name, the precious name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen. In Mark chapter 1, what did I do with the glasses? Mark chapter 1, Jesus, it says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all of the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey. That's a picture right there. Locust and wild honey. And he may not have had a napkin to wipe that off before he came out preaching. And preached, saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet or the sandals or the shoes of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, when Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened up and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now listen to verse 12. This is where we're going with this. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Verse 12 again. Immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. The Amplified says, immediately the Holy Spirit from within drove him into the wilderness. The other translations speak of being led, being drawn away into. The Holy Spirit drew Christ into the wilderness. And you would say, well, he was, God led him into temptation. But it says he was led into the wilderness where he was tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 days and 40 nights. He was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan. In the Amplified, it says, in verse 12, immediately the Holy Spirit from within drove him out into the wilderness, the desert, and he stayed in the wilderness desert 40 days, being tempted all the while by Satan, and he was with wild beasts. Now many will say, well, God led him into temptation. Well, Jesus prayed the prayer when he taught the prayer of the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God didn't lead him into he didn't lead him so that God could tempt him. God led him to a place. Yes, God knew that Satan was going to tempt him. God led him to a place. God didn't lead him away from temptation, but he led him to a place of temptation where that he would overcome. God never leads us into a place of destruction or into a place of failure or defeat. God doesn't lead us into those places, but God will lead us into a place where there is defeat and failure. But God always has a way out, and God is not the source of temptation. God never tempts anyone with sin. God never tempts anyone with evil. And we're going to read that in James chapter 1, 1 through 12 or 12 through 17. God does not tempt us with sin. God doesn't tempt us to fall or to fail. Let's look at it in James chapter chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. I'm reading now the English Standard Version. Let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. The desire when it has conceived gives birth to sin, and sin when it is fully grown brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And the King James says, is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. That we should be, the Passion Translation says, God was delighted to give us birth by truth of his infallible word, so that we would fulfill his chosen destiny for us and become the favorite ones out of all of his creation. God is nothing but good. He is nothing but good. He does not tempt us. Temptation comes from our own desires from within us. It comes from selfishness, selfish desires that we have. In James, it says that when we are tempted and drawn away, we are lured away by our own desires. We're lured by them, by the desires of our flesh, what we feed on, what we look at, what we're enticed with. And then we're drawn away from God, not drawn to God. You're not drawn to God by sin. You're drawn away from God by sin. But Satan uses sinful things. He uses desires of the flesh, even things that could be good, even things that are not evil, but he twists it so that he will take something that is a good thing and entrap you with it. Satan is a deceiver. What would appear to look like a good thing in your life, Satan will use to destroy you. That's why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Word of God, to be led by God's peace on the inside of you. These are ways that God leads us. He leads us with peace on the inside. He leads us by His Word. He leads us by the gifts of the ministry. He leads us by people that are in authority over us to give us wisdom and insight, to give us accountability, to help us to see where entrapments may be that maybe we're too close to see, that they can say, hey, you need to look at this a little differently. Sometimes it's easier to have perspective when you're on the outside. when you're real close to something, you can't really see, you don't have a good perspective of what's going on. When you're right in up close on something, you're not really seeing the whole picture. But somebody who's on the backside or on the outside of you can see things that are going on around you and say, hey, man, there's some crazy stuff going on around you. You're not seeing it because you're so close to it that you can't see what is happening around you. So this is how God leads us when we look into His Word, when we acknowledge God, when we listen to teachings or ministers, and or you have a pastor, you have someone in your life that has wise counsel. God gives us people in our life to be accountable to and to help us along the way. And God is declaring through James that the Word of God is full of wisdom, and James is speaking to the body of Christ saying, look, don't think that God is tempting you. And there are people that would take this verse in Mark and say, well, God led Jesus to be tempted. God led him into temptation. He didn't lead him into temptation. He led him to a place to be strengthened. And yes, there was temptation there. And through that temptation, through Satan coming at him, absolutely he was made stronger. But Satan was the source. God was not the source of the temptation. God was the source of strength to overcome the temptation. God was the source to defeat temptation. And with every temptation, the Bible declares, with every sin or every temptation, God has made a way out of it. He has always made a way for us to be free from it and to overcome it. God never holds us by it, never bounds us by it. God has no evil, like James says. God has no evil. There's no evil in Him, and He tempts no one with evil. There is nothing but good in God. So that is why that you can trust God, because if someone loves you so much that they sent the very best that they had, they only have you in mind. They only have your best interest in mind. When we are tempted, we need to have enough courage to say, you know what? This isn't God. This is me. This is where I have allowed my own desires to lead me in a direction that is not pure. And it's causing trouble in my life. It's causing problems in my life because I am giving in. Listen, when we give in to sin, we are giving Satan place in our life. When we give in to sin, when we allow ourselves to make decisions, make wrong choices, when we do things that we know is wrong, or even if we're not necessarily willfully sinning against God, but we know we're in a place where we shouldn't be, or maybe we've let ourselves get to that place. Maybe we walked into it innocently, or maybe we were trapped into it. Maybe we were motivated or let someone manipulate us or talk us into being at a place or being somewhere or going somewhere or watching or doing, or we it doesn't matter how we got there. The thing is we're there. And now what do we do about it? Because if we're in a place that Satan is wreaking havoc in our life, we're doing sinful things against God, but yet you know that you love God, but you're not walking out, you're not doing what God ask of you, you're not doing what the Word of God says, you're not living in obedience to the Word. Well, God is not happy that your life is messed up. God does not judge you with sin, or God does not judge you, or God doesn't cause evil things to happen to you because you're committing sin. Sin carries its own consequence. Sin carries with it its own open door of destruction. Sin gives Satan right of passage to mess with your life. And that's why God says, stay away. Don't do these things. He's not telling you that, I'm going to bring the hammer down on you. He doesn't have to, because Satan is going to rip in there and steal and kill and destroy, take and rob from you everything he can. You basically take God's hands off of you when you are walking in sin and disobedience. You take His hand. It's like a child going, don't help me. I'm trying to keep you from falling off the edge of this cliff. And then the child slaps the hand away because, or I don't want to hold your hand. I don't want you to lead me. God is not doing these harmful things to you. It is an open door for Satan. God is nothing but love. God cares about us. That's why He leads us, gives us wisdom, gives us the wisdom of His Word. But everything in God, just like we read right here in verse 17, every good gift, the Passion Translation says, every gift God freely gives us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. God never changes. God doesn't wake up and have an evil day. God doesn't wake up and say, oh, today I'm going to be evil. No, there is no evil in Him. There is nothing but good in God. God is nothing but good and love. And if you have trouble believing that, your foundation, your thinking is wrong. And you're always going to see God in not in the correct perspective. God is not bringing havoc in our life. God is not causing temptation. Temptations come because Satan is a tempter. But God is always making provision for us to come out of a place. All we have to do is come to Him. The Bible declares that He will never turn us away. God will never turn anyone away that comes to Him. Anyone that comes to Him with a pure heart, with a repentant heart, and just a heart of humility, God will never turn you away. God has always made a way of escape. God has always made provision. God is greater than the devil. The only way that Satan can have any right in your life is when we give him place, when we give him a rite of passage, when we give him an open door. That is the only way that he has any authority, because Christ has stripped him of that authority, taken away his right, taken away his power. He doesn't have anything but deceptive power. If he can deceive us, if he can lure, if he can cause us to be offended, if he can cause us to walk in unforgiveness, if he can cause us to think that, well, people are talking about us, or if he can cause us to think, hey, I can't have anything to do with that person, if he can bring division and strife, that is the only way that he can work against us, the only way that he can rob from us is through manipulation. We have to give him authority in our lives. And when we sin, we do that, because sin is not of God, it is of the devil. So when we are in sin, or we are doing something that we know is wrong, we're saying, hey, devil, I'm playing on your field. I'm out here on your turf. I'm out here with you. Now, does God ever snatch someone out of that place? Absolutely. But I'll tell you, the only way that He can do it is if faith is involved. There has to be someone else that is connecting to the kingdom of God on your behalf. Because if you're giving Satan the rite of passage, the only way that the hand of God is able to move there is by someone connecting you to the kingdom, someone connecting you to God through faith. That's when you have a mother that prays for you, when you have a grandmother that prays for you, or a grandfather or a daddy that prays for you and is praying on your behalf, because in your stupidity, in your ignorance, you're out doing foolish things. And by the grace of God, when people say it was by the grace of God, I want to tell you what it was by, is because someone was believing God on your behalf. Because when there is no faith there, and you're not believing God, and you're walking out in Satan's territory, you are exposing yourself. It's like walking naked out into the briar patch. Why am I getting cut up? Because you don't have any protection on. You're walking out into the thorns, into this wicked place, and you're getting cut up. And if you wonder, why is this happening? Well, one, you're in the wrong place. Get out. So we can't blame God for the evil things that are going on. We as believers have to take authority, and we have to do and act on the Word of God and live by His standards, by His decrees, and declare the word of the Lord, declare that God is good, declare that Satan is defeated, declare healing over people, and begin to move and operate in the things and the gifts that God has called us and given us to do. We are the people of God, and we've been given this right. We've been given the right to declare. We've been given the right to move on the behalf of other people. So, whenever things are going crazy, when things are looking out of line and out of order, maybe you did fail. Maybe you did. Maybe you made your bed. But I want to tell you something. You know, the world says, you made your bed, you lie in it. That's the bed you made, you chose, you lie in it. Tough, you know, you reap what you sow. There is a law of reaping and sowing. Absolutely. The law of sowing and reaping is from the kingdom of God. It is God created, God divine. But everyone wants to use it for evil. You made your bed, but God is able to remake your bed through repentance and through your humility, through coming to God. God is able to fix what was broken. God is able to fix the unfixable. God is able to work out what everyone else would say is your fault. You've got to live with it. No, you don't have to live with it. But you do have to change something. And the change comes when you invite God, when you honor God, and when you begin to act out and obey God and His Word, then you will see things change on your behalf. If you will honor God, and just like John the Baptist went out preaching repentance, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Believe the gospel, which is good news. There is nothing bad about the serving God and the news of the God. The gospel actually means good news. It's not bad news. It's not a little bit good and a little bit slamming down on you. No, it's all good. It's all good. Are there some responsibilities? Absolutely. Do we have to do our part? Absolutely. But God is with us and for us, not against us. So whatever you're doing, even if you're acting like a nut, if you're acting as evil and wicked, change your ways. Begin to look at God. Begin to follow after Him. Begin to seek after Him. And those things will begin to straighten up. If you'll surrender your life to God, then all the wicked places will be made straight. If you'll humble yourself and say, God, I need You. I cannot do this on my own. I'm in a place that I've been entrapped in. I know that I've messed up. I know I've got myself in this mess. But God, if You will help me, then I know through Your help I can come out of this. If you humble yourself before God and ask of Him, God can take the twisted, crooked places and make them straight and give you a way out. But you can't do it by fighting against God, by not honoring Him and rejecting Him. It's the hand that's reaching out. But they say don't bite the hand that feeds you. Don't smack God's hand away. He's reaching for you. He's reaching to you. He's not drawing His hand back to slap you or to smite you. He's reaching His hand out to pick you up and to bring you out of a place. But you've got to trust Him enough to put your hand right there and say, God, I need You, and I'm willing to let You help me out of this situation. And then I'll follow You to the best of my ability. I will honor You, and I will live my life searching for You, seeking You, asking of You, looking for You every day, seeing You on a daily basis, communicating with You, having a relationship with You. So, in saying all of that, what God has for you is nothing but good. God is not tempting you with sin. And if you feel like that God has dangled something out in front of you you have no way out of it, you have no resistance, don't believe that lie. God is not the one that is drawing you or putting a trap before you. God is the one that has set the ladder down in the pit. and said, climb up on the word of God, get out of the pit, trust me, and I will help you. But don't turn away from God. It doesn't matter how messed up your life is, turn to God, not away from Him. It doesn't matter how, God doesn't only invite in or accept the people that have their life all together. God chose His disciples who in the natural looked like they were some of the messed up people, most messed up people. He didn't pick the most eloquent speakers and the most successful people. He picked people that He knew, and even though one of them walked away, He picked people that He knew that He could pour into. And when He poured into them, they were going to be people that were going to carry on the gospel. They were going to be people that were going to take what He taught them, and they were going to share it with other people. So believe that God is for you. He's not against you. We're going to go ahead and pray. And I pray that this, some of these words that you've heard from God's Word, I pray that you hear the Spirit of God, that you don't hear me, but you hear the Spirit of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now we just thank You and we worship You. Lord, we thank You for people's lives being changed and touched. And God, I'm asking You to move on their behalf. Lord, there are people that are in dark situations. There are people that are in dire straits, Lord. There are people that are in situations that without Your help, that it looks like that their life is going to be an absolute mess and there's no way out of this. Well, Father, I thank You for giving them the insight, giving them the solution, giving them the help, sending someone to stand beside them, sending someone that has the answer, someone that will help them in this situation, the right people at the right place at the right time. Father, I thank You for helping people out of the place of darkness, getting people out of the place of darkness into the light to see You for who You really are and to know, God, that You are good, You are awesome, and You are wonderful. And Lord, we thank You for working on their behalf. Thank You for helping us, God. Thank You for being there for us. Thank You for that we can always come to You anytime with anything and You'll never turn us away. Lord, we worship You today in the name that is above every name.